Bringing hope to many around the globe. Transforming lives into legacies. Live in Word with Pastor Mensah Otobill. And now, today's word.
The second hindrance is when we read the word superficially. We read the word with a veil in front of us. The veil does not allow us to fully see the glory of God in His word. Many people study the Bible and even earn very high degrees in quote and unquote theology without ever encountering the glory of God. People get first class in Bible study but have no knowledge of God. Most of you who have been to secondary school and had Bible knowledge teachers, BK teachers, you know, they know the scripture, but there is a veil. There is a veil. It's possible for even an atheist to get first class in theology because they can read the passage and give a veiled understanding. It is possible for people to teach Bible knowledge who have no knowledge of God. Because as they read the scripture, something is covering their face. The veil tells them, this is just a history book. This is just a literature book. This is just an ancient document. I must just read it for interpretation, but I can't apply it to my life, and God is not going to speak to me because God doesn't speak through this book. Just like God doesn't speak through Tom Sawyer or Great Expectations. So we say God doesn't speak through the Bible. When you have that veil, no matter how much scripture you memorize, there will be a veil between you and the glory of God. That's the second reason why people don't receive illumination from the Word of God. Some of you come to church here, and it's great you come to church here, but you have a veil on when you come to church. You have determined what you want. You've determined what the scripture says already. And so you sit in the church, you like the music, you like some parts of my message, you like, some people say, oh, I like Pastor Otabe, he's very wise. Yeah, it's good to have somebody who is wise, but it's not my wisdom that is important. It's the Word of God, it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you that is important. Don't come and listen to wisdom and bypass the Holy Spirit. Don't come and listen to common sense and bypass the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, that common sense itself, you cannot apply it, because the enabler of the word is the Holy Spirit. He is the illuminator. He gives life to the Holy Spirit. The third reason why there is hindrance to illumination is when worldly knowledge blinds our understanding. When we allow the God of this age or what is modern to shape what we see in the scripture. As the world becomes modern, people begin to accommodate all kinds of behaviors and try to fit those behaviors into the scripture. And all of a sudden, they are reading the Bible differently to suit modernity, the God of this age. When we allow the God of this age to blind our eyes, we never see the illumination of the scripture. The hindrances to illumination. When we make the word of God subject to our lifestyle, when we read the word superficially, and when the worldly knowledge blinds our understanding. Illumination can be on two levels, and I'll walk you through them quickly. First, Psalm 119 verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. A lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Two levels of illumination. Both lamp and light are illuminants. They illuminate, they bring light. But they do it differently. The first one, the psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet. That is when the word of God speaks to us in a personal way and in an immediate way to meet our immediate needs. But it's a lamp. It's a small light. And it speaks to you concerning what you're going through now. So maybe you're going through a problem. And you read the Word of God. And as you read the Word of God, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit begins to open that scripture to you. And it speaks to your particular situation that you are in now. At that time, you've received illumination, but it's a lamp to your feet. It doesn't extend far. It has just... it's guiding you to the next step you should take or the next thing that will happen in your life. That is one level of illumination. It's personal. But there is another level of illumination. That is when the Word of God becomes light for your path. When the Word of God speaks to the fuller purposes of God in your life. The word that is used here and translated as light is the word that is used to describe daylight. Daylight. Light that is wide, is broad. God can speak to us to our immediate need, and we can receive light for our immediate needs and what we're going through. And God can speak to us when we're going through trouble, and it's true. But we must also seek that He speaks to us beyond our trouble, because we have to put the smaller light in the context of the bigger light. Because if all you do in the scripture is to get words that speak to you, you never know the mind of God, you never know the counsel of God, you never know the wisdom of God, because all you would know is what applies to you. The word must be a lamp to our feet, but it must become the light for our path. There must be a broad light that speaks to us. In the book of Acts, there is a story of somebody who had this kind of revelation. Acts chapter 18, verse 24 to 26. Acts 18, 24 to 26. Talks about a man called Apollos who came to Ephesus, and an experience he had, very interesting. Acts 18, 24, 26, now it says, now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. He had light, but not perfect light. So the light we have may not be all the light there is. The light you have, the illumination you have, may not be all that there is. Apollos was eloquent, mighty in the scriptures, instructed in the way of the Lord, fervent in spirit. And the Bible actually says he taught the word of God accurately, yet he only knew the baptism of John. And so every teaching he was doing accurately ended with the illumination he had up to John. Didn't know about Jesus coming, Jesus dying, Jesus resurrecting, and all the things that have happened then. But he knew up to John and what Jesus said about John. So he could teach about the baptism of John unto repentance. But he couldn't talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He couldn't talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He couldn't talk about the power in the believer. He couldn't talk about Christ in you, the hope of glory. But he could teach eloquently. He had light, but it was not full. It was not full. Remember, the light you have may not be all the light there is. When I became a Christian first, I was in the Scripture Union. The Scripture Union was a great organization. It emphasized read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. It emphasized Bible study, evangelism, house-to-house visitation, how to understand the Scripture. And the discipline to know the scripture that I have, I developed from Scripture Union to really drill down when you are studying the scripture and not just get something to go and preach with. But at that time, and Scripture Union has changed a bit since then, but at that time, the Scripture Union didn't know about the Holy Spirit baptism. And so when people got baptized in the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues and other gifts of the Spirit started manifesting, Scripture Union was very nervous. Eventually, they embraced it. But it's the case of Apollos. He had light. He was accurate about what he knew. He was eloquent about it. He was fervent in spirit. But his light was limited. And sometimes you can have light about healing, about the gifts of the Spirit, and not have light about other things. We have to open to other light. That's the second point. We must be open to share the light that God has given to other people. Aquila and Priscilla knew something that Apollos did not know. Note how the Bible says they dealt with him. They took him aside and explained the way of God more accurately. They took him aside. They didn't put him down. They didn't insult him. They took him aside and explained, took time and explained the word of God, the light, more accurately. So sometimes it's good to open to other people. That's why once in a while we bring other people from other ministries to come and share the light they have. And they give us a bigger light. They give us a bigger light so that the light we walk in is wider. Because you can only believe God based on the light of his word you walk in. If the light is narrow, you walk narrow. If the light is broader, you walk in the broader will of God. So like Apollos, we must allow the light that in us, the illumination we have to allow that other people can speak into our lives and give us more light. Now, that means that we have to be able to determine what light is light and what light is not light. Otherwise, you open up to something you call light and it is darkness packaged as light. So let me end my teaching on false illumination. False illumination. Not all illumination is from God. False illumination. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12 to 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12 to 15. This is Paul speaking. He says, "But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded, just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." Be very careful when people have new revelations. What do we learn? We learn that Satan can present his ideas as new light, new revelation, new divine secret. When people start teaching and they say, the whole church is wrong and they are the only ones who have light, be very careful. When people start teaching and say, nobody knows this, I'm the only one who knows it, be very careful. Be very careful, because the Bible says even apostles, false apostles, can transform themselves into apostles of Christ. Be very careful when people claim exclusivity to what God has revealed to them. I'm the only one. This church is the only one which teaches this. This church is the only one which knows this. We are the only church who have this revelation. Be very careful. Be very careful. Because that's not how God works. Satan can package new light, his ideas as new light. And it can come in different forms. Occultism can be repackaged. Psychic reading can be repackaged. Fortune telling can be repackaged. I will be bold to say a lot of things people call prophecy today is fortune telling, repackaged. Fortune telling. You say he's accurate, yes. Fortune tellers are also accurate. Psychics are also accurate. Just because somebody can tell you secrets about your father and your mother and your house number and telephone number doesn't mean that reading is from God. It doesn't mean so. And I'm not generally saying that all of them are wrong, but I'm saying that you have to clearly judge it. And I'm going to show you just one simple way to do that. Second thing you know from this verse is that deceitful people can present themselves as apostles of Christ. These days, all kinds of people have become apostles of Christ using the name of Jesus. Psychics, spiritists, fetish priests, occultists have all transformed themselves into ministers of Christ. They have learned enough terminology of the church to make people trust them. They know how to say, praise the Lord. There are people who started their ministry without mentioning the name of Jesus, who told people where their powers came from, but now have been repackaged and have gained the trust of the church. Because the church somehow thinks everything supernatural and spiritual is from God. God is not the only spirit out there. And he's not the only supernatural out there. There are many spirits and many sources of the supernatural. God is not the only one who knows spiritual information. There are other spirits who also know that. Be careful which spirit you are dealing with. But there are deceitful people who present themselves as apostles of Christ. When we were growing up, we had all these, you know, people used to come to the neighborhood who would do, there's assembly hall and prophesy. They would say there's something, and they would divine and tell you this, your child will be great, there is a light in front of your child's head, and all kinds of things. There are people who walked the neighborhoods and did magic, magicians, and did all kinds of things. They are no longer there. Where are they? Where are they? They have repackaged themselves and now saying Jesus, in the name of Jesus. So how can you know? Well, the Bible tells it clear. It says, you will know them by their works. The guy is sleeping with all the women in the church. That's his works. He's using all kinds of crookish methods to take your money, and you know that the guy is stealing your money. After church, he packs all the money and takes all the money home. That's his works. Listen to his language. Does it glorify God? Is he decent? Is good communication coming out of his mouth? Is he insulting? Is he profane? How can he be a righteous minister and be profane? Because they can transform themselves and their gifts, but they cannot transform their character. That one, only the Holy Spirit can do it. So the language will change, the method will change, but the character is still the same. A crook is a crook, whether he's in the pulpit or not in the pulpit. By their works, you shall know them. That's what the scripture says. That's what the scripture says. Never elevate a gift of a man above his character. Never elevate any gift above character. When they say somebody is a man of God, first sign, check his life. If he's a man, how is he treating his wife? How is he treating the women in the church? Is he living pure? Is he living holy? Is he righteous? How does he speak? Is he decent? Is he honorable? Does he bring glory to Jesus Christ? Whom does he honor? Does he bring attention to himself? Or does he point to Jesus? Those are the works. Those are the works. And by their fruits, you shall know them. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will help us when we go into the scripture to bring illumination of his word to us and make his word alive and real to us. Amen and amen.